Brothers, we live in this world, in this dunya, and if we see that inside this world to live, the thing that we need a lot or most, and that is wealth, money, wealth. If we don't have wealth or money in our pocket, we cannot do anything. You need mal, you need wealth, you need money. You go to shopping, to do the shopping, you need money, you need wealth to buy. If you go to buy something for your personal use, you need money. If you want to buy a house, you need money. For your children, you need the fees, the costs. So there's a circle upon which we travel in this world, and that is to follow the trail of money, wealth. There are different ways through which you can earn money, you can accrue wealth. Allah Ta'ala has given somebody this capacity, this quality, this skill, etc. And through those methods, they earn their income and spend on their lives. A person who has more wealth and money, he is given the title rich, and the person who has got less money, he is called poor. So these are the classifications that we have in our society. Somebody's rich, somebody's poor. And the base, the standard is what? Money. Wealth. Yeah. So we know that this is the situation, but we also know that the world is not reality. It is not the haqiqat. We can accept it or not, but this is the situation. We are not living in a permanent abode here. This is a sketch. I'm just giving like a summary. And this dunya is showing us the sketch. For example, the apple that we're eating is not a true apple. It's not a real apple. It's just an example. Allah Ta'ala said, this is apple. Where's the true and the real apple? In Jannah, paradise. That's where we'll find it. So everything is a shadow. Like, you know, you have the shadow minister. And this is the example that Allah Ta'ala has given. We have meat. We eat meat. This is not the real meat. When you eat the meat in the hereafter, then we'll realize what is the meat. And here when we drink the drinks, the juices, the milk, etc., these aren't the real tastes. Allah Ta'ala says, this is just an example I'm giving. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala will give us the true drinks. Then we will see the true food, nice taste, we'll realize. Allah Ta'ala is making us practice, rehearse. This is a rehearsal, and the true thing will come in the hereafter. Beautiful, excellent items you're going to get produced, because that's the difference between real and genuine and fake. So here we are practicing, rehearsing. And is there anyone who can live in this world without money, currency, wealth? And here Allah Ta'ala is also making us practice that when you will come to that world, the hereafter, how will you succeed without currency, without the wealth? So here, if you need currency, if you need things here, you will need them as well in the hereafter. Or do you think we're just going to sit arms and legs folded and that after dying, that's it, we're going to disappear? No. Within a second, that's it. As soon as the ruh is coming out of the body, and that's it. It's a transfer of life. As soon as the ruh is extracted, taken away, that's the fadl of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala makes everything suddenly stop and the ruh is extracted. Nicely. And after the ruh is extracted, then the life comes back. People think he's died, give him ghusl, bathe him, and see him off, somebody's crying, and they're doing this, and that person who's deceased, he's looking, what's happening? I'm totally fine, and you're taking me, and they're taking me now, because he's now got to the real world, to the real world. And now he doesn't see the home here, the house that he's run after, the unreal house. Then what does he do? What's he doing? And he says, leave this person, quickly take me to my grave, quickly take me to my grave. That is my real home where I have to go. And where will the scorpion or the spider bite me? No, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala is totally prepared for that person. The ruh, what he needs, Allah Ta'ala gives. Don't be scared of death, rather be happy. Be happy, because maut, death, is a comfortable thing. This life is nothing. When we pass away, we'll realize, oh, we used to be afraid of death, and we were worried about the hereafter and what's going to happen. And here Allah Ta'ala has prepared everything for us nicely, calmly. Allah Ta'ala has prepared everything nicely and smoothly, excellently for us. So there's no issues. So just like we practice here and rehearse and we earn money, we need money to do transactions. Don't you need wealth there? Don't you need a status there? Don't you want to be poor and rich there? Don't want there to be poor and rich there? Will there be people with big houses? Somebody will have 10 wives, somebody will have 5 wives, somebody will have a beautiful wife, somebody will have a less beautiful wife, somebody will have this, somebody will have that, there'll be a detached house, somebody will have a terraced house. So according to the status and quality of paradise I'm speaking here, I'm not relatively speaking of, in terms of paradise's quality and excellence. So this is the practice that Allah Ta'ala is making us do. What is the practice? The rehearsal that we're doing. Of Buddha house. After a few days, then We start complaining, scratching. This is a terraced house. Should try that. I have a lawn at the back, a garden. And the wife saying, you should have a lawn for the children. They need to run around. We need this and that. Before we stay, Allah give us a terraced house. I'm so happy. Get out of this. Counsel us. This is what we used to say first, isn't it? Oh, I'm in a council house. They're squeezing me. They're not giving me freedom. At least if I can get a terraced house, 2-bed house. And this is the game we will play in Jannah as well. This is the game we will play. So then, in the dunya, this is the rehearsal, the practice. So the desire increases. Oh, I'm in a terraced house. Let's get out of this terraced house. Allah Ta'ala gives him a loan, takes him out of the terraced house. What's the next system? Allah Ta'ala gives him the semi-detached with the loan. He wanted the loan. After that, then he thinks, it's not comfortable. You know those people, they came, look what they've become. They've moved to that other area, that clean location, locality. There's no noise there, no congestion. Then he starts scratching, thinking, oh, let's go to that new area. Let's broaden. Let's widen. So they don't stick around. Then after that, after a few years, you used to live here, didn't you? 3 years ago. No, we've moved on near the airport. Oh, I don't know what the name of that area is. Sure, they've moved there. So they move on. Life moves on. Then after a few days, there's a bit of scratching and thinking, complaining, oh, I bought the house here, but this is not the good condition. Oh, I need to look for another new area, a bit of fresh air. So all lifelong, a person like a stone rolling around, never content. Alhamdulillah. And what is this that's coming into my mind? These points I'm sharing with you, if you like, except if you don't, then leave them. But these are the facts I'm sharing. So what are we rehearsing for? What are we practicing for? The true life to come. You keep on eating apple, and you are eating the apples, ready to eat the real apples in the hereafter in paradise. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared everything, created everything. And Allah ta'ala has given the name of everything in Quran. Allah has given the name of honey and meat and grapes and bananas and everything. Allah ta'ala has mentioned many fruits in the Quran that you're getting it and you'll get it there. So what is this? Rehearsal, getting ready, practicing, eating apple, the banana. This is not real. This is not real. We don't know what the real thing will be like. What will it taste like? But we are practicing it. After one house, you go into another house, then into another house. Then what are you trying to do? To promote ourselves. Fulus. We need currency, money. Money allows us to buy, doesn't it? So I'm just trying to explain this point in depth so we can open our eyes. Is this the point that we need to understand? So brothers, we reach to that world, the hereafter, that is the true hereafter, forever, reality, and everything is there. And I will be there what I'm here. Asif Hussain Faruqi. And those desires I had here, I desire of being rich and a nice wife and a house and status and property and assets. And these desires will be there. Not that when we go in the grave, that's it, everything will suppress. Nothing will happen. You will get the same desire. You will be the same person. You know, this body, it is a being. This body, the physical body we have around us, this is just the cage. When you take the shirt off, then you take the shirt off and put it on the door and you go to sleep. So you have no link with that shirt. It's just a temporary shell. Whatever is there. In the same way, the ruh has the body around it, the physical body. And when you pass away, then the ruh comes out of the cage, out of the framework of the body, and it's free. It's free. Then the scorpions and spiders, etc., can eat it. It makes no difference. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my saliheen, my pious servants, I protect their bodies also. I preserve them. So now, what happens? The person passes away, the ruh goes to the hereafter. Then what happens? Fulus, you need currency, mal, wealth. Then what do we do? I say, okay, fine. Whatever you need, buy, exchange, transact. What do you need? We need the currency to attain all the beauties of the hereafter. We need currency. We say it's currency, isn't it? Different currencies. Now we go to the shop, and you go to somebody's shop, and there's a trolley full of goods laden, and you're putting pistachio nuts, almonds, and fruits, and groceries, and people like me, one bottle of milk, one bread, and he's looking around. Where's the place I have to go and pay the bill? That's what we buy, isn't it? Milk and bread. We're simple. And what's in the trolley? There may be with difficulty, there'll be a bottle of milk and one bread. And instead of butter, oh no, the button's gone a bit expensive. 5 pence has gone up. Oh, let's buy that margarine. Let's buy the margarine. And then he'll spend 1 hour looking. Where's it? 2p off, 5p off. He's looking at the man. He's putting this product in, that product. And the children say, "Ammi, I want this." Okay, get this then, isn't it? And the child is saying to the mum. After a while, he goes to the machine, gives his card, and he leaves. We're counting the money. This 2p, 5p, and he's saying, "Please hurry up! This customer's behind." That customer before that put the card in the machine. Where's this mad customer come from? And who's winning there? The person with the mal, with the money. The trolley's full. They've left even before you. So here, let's finish the desires and let's go there to the hereafter now. Let's see what happens there then. What's going to happen there? Let's think. What's going to happen then? So what do we need? What do we need? We need the wealth. And this was practice here. So Allah Ta'ala says that that person who's slow here, he's called mad or he's not up to speed. And rehearsing for what? The hereafter. We think the people with the currency, the wealth, we say they are successful people of the world. Oh, Allah Ta'ala says, but those who are prepared correctly for the hereafter, they are the people of intellect and success. And if we realize the true practice, one is the rehearsal football match and one is the real football match. There's a practice football match. Will you buy a ticket for £100 for a practice match? No, it's a practice match. And you'll spend £200 for the real match, won't you? You'll make effort. So the practice we're doing in this world, we are just running after the practice. We are giving our whole effort and life for just the practice. We're mad and running after dunya. And the asal, the real match that's going to be played after we pass away, the real life, we are leaving that. So then we haven't got the intellect. And so in the hereafter, just like we enter into the store and we get some money, we don't have no money, and we had poverty, we have no money, we couldn't push the trolley wrong and laden it with the goods. In the same way, we'll go to the hereafter, there'll be a queue. And who will be in that queue? And there'll be people, obvious person who has currency, they will be able to purchase what he needs. So what currency do I need there? I need value of the currency. We need that currency. We need to purchase, just like here, there's a value of the currency through which you can purchase goods. For example, you go into the shop, into a shop you go, and after putting all the goods in the trolley, you take a Pakistani rupee out. Here's the money. You say, who are you? Oh, are you an animal or something? Which country are you from? What currency is this you're giving to me? And you need a pound here. Oh, a pound. And if you have the pounds, you can buy it. You can purchase. So you see the difference in the currency, in the buying power, in the purchasing power. And the pound is the purchasing power. The rupee is weak and it doesn't have that power. So in the same way, my brothers, this is rehearsal. This is practice. This is Allah Ta'ala's preparation. This is the hikmah, the wisdom. Allah Ta'ala increases the pound, the dollar goes down, this currency goes to this way, that way. This is all practice. When we reach that world, to the hereafter, then here, we will need the currency. So Allah Ta'ala has named that currency, Amal. The name of the currency in the hereafter to buy for purchase power is Amal. We will need to have that currency there. And how do you buy it here in this world? You go here, there, you work, you earn money, wages, and you go and buy things from the shop. And there, what do we need the currency? Amal, the deeds, ibadat. So we need amal. If you pray salah, what have you earned? What have you saved? Amal, the deeds for the hereafter. What is the currency of the hereafter? Deeds. When you go on hajj, you've made a deed. When you recite Quran, you have made a deed. What you are earning? Deeds for the hereafter. Amal, ibadat. So worship, which are deeds. Deeds is the currency of the hereafter. So the person who has more deeds, he'll have more currency. And the person who has double time in the night, he prays, in the day he prays. Sometimes you don't see him in the day or the night, you can't see him. What's he got? He's got money, money, money. Sometimes, have you ever seen the person you don't see him in the day or the night? He's busy in the world. Whenever you go home, he's at work. Whenever you ring, he's at work. Has he gone to work at this time? Because he's earning money in the same way. What is he doing? He's immersed in ibadah. He's gone on umrah. He's gone on hajj just now. Now he's doing this. At this moment, he's reciting Quran. No. You can't see him now. He's in prostration. What is he doing? What is he earning? He's earning mal, wealth. So do you understand the point I'm making to this point? Now let's go ahead. Next step. Next step. Mal is mal. Mal upon mal. MashaAllah, everyone. Rupees is the currency in this world. You got pounds. And you got dollars as well. All of this is currency, isn't it? But is there no difference between these? If you go to the bank and you exchange the currencies, which one has the value higher? If you go take a pound, an old pound, and you change it to another currency, then you can go there nicely, count the money and put it in your pocket. Because you've got the pennies. And there's a person behind you, he's got the container. Why have you come? I've got a pound and I need some Pakistani notes. Then they'll say, oh, they'll be full in that container. Because the currency, the pound, is stronger than the rupee. So you'll have full, the container will be full of the rupees in exchange for 1 pound. So you see, there is currency of 1 rupee, 1 pound, $1. But there are differences in the power, in the values of these currencies if you compare them. So now let's go to the asal. Now let's go to the asal, the real world. Okay, fine. So we have mal. We have the deeds. I pray salah. I have hajj. I have fasting. I have all, and everyone has deeds. But what will happen there in the hereafter? Everyone's deeds will be different in the quality and the value of the currency. I am giving and presenting my salah, and Zayd is presenting his salah, and dhikr, and Zakir is presenting his salah. But every salah will have a value. The currency will be different. You understand my point? The value of my currency. Somebody's salah will be so good. so perfect, so valuable, that Allah Ta'ala will say, take what you want, take what you want, take the rewards, what you want. And somebody else will be like the Pakistani rupee. Inside there'll be nothing in Islam, empty like a box, empty box. And that's a currency as well, but a weak currency. Do you understand the difference I've made now? So now we have to do this now. We don't just practice the deeds here. We don't just practice the deeds. We don't just do this, that we just prayed, that's it. I've prayed. I finished prayer, I've earned. You say, what have you earned? Pounds, dollars, rupees? What currency have you got? Where's the power? That's why we didn't stay in India. We ran from Gujarat to here. We ran from Baroch. Why? Because I don't want rupees, I want the pounds. I want the pounds, I want the value. You didn't come here, did you? For any other reason, there were rotis there, chapatis there, but there weren't pounds there. We came here for the pounds. Everything destroyed for the pounds. That we get pounds in, 1 pound we get 100. Oh, we're sitting here, okay, let's go. Take the pound, we get 100. But we haven't made the 100 yet, we're still in the same way. Everything goes into the tax. So brothers, practice, rehearse. Where? What are we doing? Practicing, rehearsing for what? For the real world. For the haqiqat. So what do we need? The currency, just like we run around here, we ran here for the pound. We elevated our currency. We elevated our strength of our rupees. So what do we have to do with our salah? We have to elevate it, strengthen it. So here, oh, I've just prayed salah, or oh, I've just done hajj, or oh, I've done umrah, or oh, I've read my Quran. No, what is the value of your deed? What is the value of this amal, of this practice? What is the value? Is there any weight in this? Otherwise salah, I've got salah, and the rupee is a currency as well. So what's the difference? What can you buy from that? Nothing. Nothing. But no, where you take the pound and you develop the rupee, alhamdulillah, whatever you want, buy it. You can get a lot. In the same way, that same salah is called amal. It's a deed. It is an amal. Amal, salah upon salah. But that salah which has no weight, which has no value, you will not be able to purchase anything in the hereafter. You say, okay, yes, you've got prayer, but it's a very low value currency. It's not enough for you to purchase things. It's not enough. So now let's think, how do I increase and strengthen? Shall we look for a hadith? If I tell you, will you practice on this? Say, inshallah. Or will you keep it your salah the same as it now, the same status quo? Listen clearly, carefully, otherwise you won't succeed. That salah will give us benefit. The more it's elevated, the more it's high, that is the more promotion I'll get. And I'll only get that chance once in the life, remember this. And when I go there, I'll say, oh, okay, let's increase that salah. You'll say, oh, hold on. You could have only done it in the world. You can't do it now. You've passed away now. Whatever you've brought, that's all you're going to get. So now, bear with patience. Okay, sit down. You were looking there, weren't you? For a big house, terraced house, you wanted to change. Now, didn't you not know that you could have taken a good palace in the world? You could have purchased or constructed good residence, and you were running around for the world all lifelong, just looking at what's happening there. And you'll see other people are there enjoying what you left behind. That house you spent so long in your life in the world to earn, for that house of paradise that you left for the house of the world, then they'll say, look back in the world, what's happening? You'll see that same house, your enemies living there. They've taken over your house. They're laughing, joking. All your life you spent on that house, and you ended your deeds. You didn't practice. You didn't increase your amalu salihat, the deeds for the hereafter. And you never constructed and looked forward towards the hereafter. That's why it's told us to us, and we are taught that this world is the house of deception. It's like the wing of the mosquito. It has no value. There's no value to me. When I'm young, how much value did I have? And as the age increases, the life increases, the people say, oh, sit down. And you just keep coughing and spluttering. When you're young, you come home, oh, Abaji's come, quickly make food, do this, that. People used to say that, and maybe it doesn't happen to you, but this happens with people, doesn't it? And with us, people happens a lot. As soon as a person, when he's young, vitality, power, he's got appreciation, value. When he gets older, when the Babaji comes home, oh, father, why are you doing? Would you sit in the corner? Let me feed the kids first. Why are you asking first? Wait for your turn. So the man starts to get devalued, not given appreciation. So this is practice. And then we expect that we get the reception when we were young. It's impossible. You won't get that reception. Why are you asking? What's a person going to ask an old person? Whatever you had to earn, you presented, and the people have taken your wealth and they've utilized it. They've taken advantage. So our value is decreasing day by day. What was yesterday is not stay today. It's not stay today. Our value will decrease as the years go on. If we go further, they say, oh, come, accountant sahib, what degree do you have? And this is your room, you'll sit and you work. And as the years pass, as his skills decrease, oh, please, can you retire now? We've got some younger recruits, we have to give them the job, we'll have to replace you. Staff replacement. So he gets older, mature, then they take the workload away from him. They say that you're not capable, and then retirement here, take some pension and go and sit in the corner. This is your value? Is the value? And there on the other side, Allahu Akbar, permanent, forever and ever. increasing upon increasing, nur ala nur, light upon light, fazl fazl of Allah, blessing upon blessing, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives, alhamdulillah, and nobody will be able to take it away from you. Whatever you attain will be yours forever, permanent. Should we practice for that time or not? Tell me. For that, there's a beautiful point. And the meaning of this hadith is such that every deed that we do, look, every deed that we practice is not just the same. Rather, what is it? That some deeds become greater than other deeds. And what's the reason for this? It's been explained to us. The amal, how can a deed be greater than another deed? How can one salah be greater than another salah? How can one hajj be greater than another hajj? This is the meaning of the hadith, I'm telling you. How can it be? Like one salah, another deed, another salah is greater than this salah. Or one prayer is greater than another prayer. Every amal, what is an amal? A deed. One deed can be better and surpass the other one in quality and status and reward. And how does it surpass it? How does it increase over it? Will we do that practice? The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, with the abundance of dhikr. With what do our deeds increase in value? With the abundance of dhikr. That fast, that you keep the fast. That fast that you do with the kathir and kathir of dhikr, abundance of dhikr, there's a difference between the two. And the value of this amal, of these deeds, how does the value increase? With the dhikr of Allah, it increases. This is the hadith that I'm reciting to you. The more you want to increase the value of a deed, with every deed, if you want to increase the value of it, the strength of it, the power of it, if you do dhikr of Allah in abundance, the more abundance of dhikr you do with that deed, the more that deed will become elevated. The value of that deed will elevate, increase. So one salah will be weighed without dhikr, and one deed will be weighed with the abundance of dhikr, like dhikr of Allah, and the difference will be like the difference between the heavens and the earth. Everybody will be coming with the salah in the rafter, but the currency will have a different value. With what? Due to what? The dhikr of Allah. That's the reason why the pious predecessors grabbed hold of the practice of dhikr. They understood the hadith. They weren't living the life of deception. They weren't living in delusion. They said, yes, we are praying, but we need to strengthen our salah, improve our salah by doing abundance of dhikr of Allah. We will make our salah perfect, better, improved. If you pray salah with abundance of dhikr, the salah will be increased and improved. That fast will be valuable with the abundance of dhikr. That hajj will be very valuable with the abundance of dhikr. So take this point. The more you do dhikr in abundance, whichever deed you do with the abundance of dhikr, then that deed specifically will increase in the power and strength and capacity, and you can purchase what you want in the hereafter with that deed. That's it. That's the point. Allah Ta'ala has prepared that for us as well. Subhanallah. Dhikr in abundance. Now what we have to do? Allah Ta'ala has told us that with kathir and kathira, unlimited, open door. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, why has He said dhikr kathir and kathira? Why has Allah said in abundance, unlimited? Wadhkurullaha kathiran la'allakum tuflihun. Wadhkurullaha kathiran, Allah says. Why has Allah said this? Wherever Allah Ta'ala says dhikr, Allah says kathir and kathira. Wherever Allah Ta'ala mentions dhikr, Allah says kathir and kathira. Not with salah, not with fasting, not with hajj, not with zakat. All the faraid, the compulsory deeds, show me any of these deeds. Does Allah say kathir and kathira? No. But where the situation of dhikr comes, Allah Ta'ala says kathiran kathira. The reason for this is this, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that I want you, are you doing my dhikr out of mouth? How can we do dhikr? The reason for this is that Allah Ta'ala says, I have said to you unlimited. Because Allah Ta'ala says, so that you can get unlimited rewards in paradise. Unlimited. The more dhikr you do in abundance, and your deeds, they will increase. Your mile of the hereafter will start to become elevated and weighty and heavy due to this dhikr. So Allah says, do as much as you can, and do so much that I don't give any limit to this. And I give you freedom. That you're walking, sleeping, lying down without salah, with salah. Every moment, Allah Ta'ala says, however you do dhikr, this will be my dhikr, and I will accept it from you. I'll accept it from you. And alongside that, Allah Ta'ala has given much ease. Okay, you can do dhikr while you're sleeping. You can do it in your shop. You can do it at work. Allah Ta'ala has made such a system, such a beautiful system for making Jannah paradise, that when the eyes close, my friends, when the eyes close, that's when we'll realize, and our eyes will close very soon, that how much we have lost, how much time we have lost. Let's not live the rest of our life in loss. Remember this. What is the system Allah Ta'ala has given to us? Such a beautiful body, beautiful system of life. Allah Ta'ala has told us, and He's made it as well. And in which way? That Allah Ta'ala says, well, how will your tongue do dhikr? It can't. What will your hands do? Nothing. They can't. No capable. They are just two things that a person does dhikr with, the hand and the tongue. Allah Ta'ala says, you can't do dhikr kathir and kathira. The tongue will get dry. And while you sleep, the tongue will stop. Allah Ta'ala has made such a system. Allah Ta'ala said, then your body, I've inserted your heart that every second can do the dhikr of Allah. And remember Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Subhanallah. And this is called qalbi dhikr, maraqaba. Dhikr of the heart. And that's why we do this. Allah Ta'ala has sent mashayikh and walis and alims and aqabireen and pious predecessors and his walis who have got this knowledge, and they teach this knowledge to people. They go to villages and cities, they do tabligh of this, explain to people so that we can elevate our deeds, strengthen our deeds. Don't live in this deception that you pray salah. Fine, you pray salah, but is there any value of your salah? That is why, brothers, the friends of Allah make effort in this, work hard on this. Go tell the public that do the dhikr of Allah. Do the dhikr of Allah. So that when you do dhikr, what will happen? Your amal, your deeds, you just came back after praying salah. When you do this with dhikr, and how can you do salah with dhikr? Subhanallah, you've prayed salah. And in the same time, the heart is going, Allah, 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 Allah. At the same time, so make your heart alive. Make your heart alive, enlighten your heart. Don't worry, 10 tasbih, 20 rosary beads, we think this is dhikr Allah, subhanAllah. So with 10 tasbih, then your value be, the value of your salah will be 10 tasbih. If you do 12 tasbih, then the value of your salah will be 12 tasbih. No, Allah says, kathiran kathira. Do so much dhikr in abundance, that the thawab of the salah, you will get kathiran kathira. Tell me what thawab we will get. And the true thing is salah, not dhikr. The true action is salah that will please Allah. The true action is hajj, the faraid, the compulsory duties. We want to make them sparkle. We want to make them shiny and polished. Dhikr is not our objective. That is not our end objective. Dhikr is not our end objective. Dhikr is such an action that, like for a tree, you have water. Water is not the objective, but water is applied to the roots of the tree. So the tree grows, gives fruits, and leaves come out, and flowers come out. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala says, the tree is the objective. So our objective is not dhikr. Do dhikr and that's it. No, the objective of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has told us, do kathir and kathir and kathira, so that our amal, our deeds are instilled with noor, with value, with strength, with the currency, so that we can go and let's do this. This is my salah. Take my salah. Here's my hajj. Here are my deeds. And put the strength and the weight into your deeds. And they'll say, oh, he's got a lot of power. And these are people who are doing dhikr. That's why it's told that those people who do dhikr, that in Jannah there'll be a door. In paradise there'll be a door for the dhakirin, for the people who do dhikr of Allah. And straight he will be a VIP door. The khalis, the dhakirin, only will be going through that door, because they'll have high stages. Like a king comes and he has a separate portion. And he's got a separate portion. This seat is for him. These items are for him. And these are special things for him. And the normal jannati, he will be walking along. But the dhakirin will be asked and told, come here, this is your door. VIP, when they come inside and see, subhanallah, their salah, due to their prayer, due to their fasting, due to their recitation, due to their tabligh, due to their dawah, the rewards they will get, subhanallah. People will be amazed that what is this? Like I've told you various hadith before. That on the day of Hashr, people will be amazed that the people are doing dhikr. Why are they getting these rewards? For this reason, that we told them that with dhikr, their amal, their deeds, the value will increase, and they will earn in the world and the hereafter. So should we do dhikr or not, my friends? So a person who hasn't learned dhikr yet, come to me, learn dhikr, and then depart. Remember, if you understand the points I've made, then don't take yourself into deficit, into loss, because in the hereafter, once your heart is alive, alhamdulillah, walking, talking, traveling, Allah, 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 your heart will continue to do this. Sleeping, walking, sitting, wudu, without wudu. In every moment, you will remember the heart, and then you see how you are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With dhikr, kathir and kathir, we are doing dhikr, and this is tazkiyah and tafsiyah. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq so we can do qalbi zikr, zikr in the heart. So when we go to the hereafter, due to our deeds in this world, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take the deeds with us so we can purchase in the hereafter. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.